Between the Covers, a series designed around who and what can be done and achieved by patients, planning and working in a community of like-minded, successful people. This podcast series is for anyone looking at becoming a successful published author and those looking to understand the mind of a writer and the goals of a publisher. Proudly sponsored by Shoreline Publishing. Welcome and enjoy.
Hello, everybody. My name is Bradley Shaw, and thank you for joining me on Between the Covers. Today, I'm talking with Cheryl Sullivan, the wonderful, talented author of the new book called Harvest of the Unborn. Hello, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Bradley. Thanks for having me here today. It's a lot of fun to talk about the book.
Good, good. And yes, it is. It's brand new. It's coming out. It's out now and available. Tell everybody, what are they going to expect when they buy the book? What's it really about?
It's about historical science fiction thriller, and it's about young girls being abducted out of Sydney, taken through the abandoned rail tunnels under St. James Station into a dimension of humans, and they want their eggs for their breeding program. So it's how it all unpans from that, and it's a journalist, a detective, and a war vet. So my war vet, Joe Moody, is such a character. He's caught between two worlds and can't look after himself, but anyway, he gets there in the end. So that's very about good. It.
So it's a character, it sounds like a character-driven story. There's a lot of elements in it that the characters are key to that as much as the plot.
The characters are really key, particularly Joe, because I gave him the surname of Moody because he swings from being out there, he's become a self-appointed alcoholic, doesn't want to associate with the world above him, but still has a contact with a friend who's a detective. So, and there's a journalist, my female journalist, who gets involved in all this. So, yeah, it's quite interesting. And Joe, unaware, actually sees these girls being abducted and is by these men he's nicknamed as Trilbies, and because he's just got that weird sense of humour. But he's an expert. He's a hero in some ways. He's a bit down on himself at the moment.
The anti-hero.
The anti-hero, yes.
So was it this is your first book, is that correct?
This is, yes, it's my first book, and it started 9 years ago in September this year.
Wow. Wow.
And I signed up to do courses at Queensland Writers Centre, and we had some homework to do. One of them was called Toolkit for Writers, and we had homework was done over 3 weeks, and one of the tutors approached me and said, "I'm so pleased you're writing your novel as part of your homework." And I said, "I'm not writing a novel." And she said, "Oh, I think you are. You need to pursue this." So, and about a week ago, I found that first paragraph and I thought, "Oh, this is nothing like the book," but that's where it all stemmed from. Two people meeting in a bar on a wet, rainy day.
Yeah.
And that's how it all came about. Yes.
Gosh. Jeez, well, that's how it happens. It starts with an incubus of an idea, and it evolves and it grows. And as you said, then find the characters that fit the motif of your storyline, and that's exciting. So was it a challenge? I mean, 9 years. I mean, that's a fair time. Did you take time off from it, or did you keep plodding along to it to get it right? What was this journey like for you?
Well, I was a coordinator of the Brisbane Writers Group after the lady resigned her position, and we used to take homework along. So I had a lot of feedback from co-writers, and we're all beginners, not all of us are published. And I just kept pursuing it. Then I took some time out because I thought, this isn't me, this isn't what I want to do. It kept haunting me. And then I thought, I'll do the research. So I spent probably 12 months researching a site for it. And St. James Abandoned Tunnels kept popping up on my screen. So I thought, okay, this is where I need to be.
Okay.
And I'm familiar with that part of Sydney. I used to visit a friend down in Sydney, and we used to hike around that place and have a look at different things. So it became the guts of the story. You know, it's and the abandoned rail tunnels is so eerie. I haven't been there, but to go through St. James Station is just... it's just got this weird feeling.
It's old school, isn't it? It's an old heritage place that is really, it is cool. I know. I lived in Sydney for a long time. Those train tunnels are very strange, very dark. But that's good.
I've taken poetic license with the tunnels too, because I know there's a lake there. My neighbours father and grandfather were engineers in Sydney in that time, so she knew all about it. She grew up in Paddington. She had older sisters that used to go to the town hall dances. So it was just communicating with everyone, and that's all what's come into the story, yes.
Yeah, so, wow. And that's the thing. Like, it's interesting too, like, when you were writing this story, did you write other stories? Did you write other books? Did you write other things as well to keep evolving, or was this story just that core focus?
This was focused. I couldn't let it go. It would wake me up at night and I'd have to write something.
Wow. Was that the journey? Was that what you wanted it to achieve, the publication, or was it just the thing you just wanted to finish writing at first, like just get your mind into that closure?
I've always dreamt of having it published. Okay. I didn't know how to go about it. If I hadn't inherited a little bit of money, it may have been self-published and it would not have reached the high standard that your company has provided for it. It's outstanding. I'm just in love with it. I can't stop touching it.
Oh, it is a beautiful book, but it's also beautifully written. Like, I mean, even though you said you've learned the craft of writing while writing the book, which is generally what writers do, of course, but the fact that you pursued this particular story, this particular vein, and the infatuation and the admiration that you've grown to have for your own characters comes across in the story as well. You can see that, you know, you've really given them that voice themselves in narrative of their characters. Was that conscious, or did you just find that each character created itself with the storyline?
Each character developed in a way, in such a way that I became that character. If I had a conversation, my head was role swapping. So I was the, say, Joe in the tunnel saying, oh, I've had enough of this. And then Charlotte's upstairs saying, well, what's wrong with you? You know, so I have that male and female voice going through my head all the time. So,
So you need to get a T-shirt that says I'm an author, not a schizophrenic. So yes. You make sure that people know that you are talking to yourself for a good
That's
reason.
It.
And it is hard. You have that thing where you're writing so many characters, multiples. Was it harder in that context too? Was it harder, as you said then, is it harder to write men for you, being a lady, writing a male character's form or an idea in a male's perspective? Or did you get advice on that to help you understand that male character?
No, if they've come across all right, I've succeeded. I think I was a tomboy and most of my friends, my childhood friends were boys.
Yeah.
But I went to an all-girls high school, but so we had very little, and I had male cousins who became sort of half-brothers sort of thing. So it was, I think I drew on the men I knew, the way they reacted. There was nice men and there were bad men. So,
yes.
I'll leave that one alone.
Your voices and your characters are very authentic. That's what I'm asking, just to say that, like, you know, you have you know the characters well in the sense that they're people you've represented, or you've just really thought about who they are as people in real life, if they were real, which is good. And so for you too, like in this journey, like 9 years, my goodness, what were the highs and lows of the writing cycle on this journey for you?
The highs were having a really good support, particularly through Queensland Writers' Centre, Meg Van particularly, and then Laurie J. Laurie J's just nudged me in the back all the way along. She said, you've got to get this out. How far along are you? I want to see it, you know. So I have a lot to be thankful for. I've also had QWC supported with some grants for me to do some courses. It's just, but the lows are the research. Probably spent 12 months researching where I wanted it, interviewing my characters. So I found a form where I could interview them and describe them to the T, their voices, their tone, the colour of their eyes. And don't necessarily use all that, but that took a lot of time putting all that together. Yeah. Now that I've done it, I think I can't believe I did it, actually. I read it for the first time recently and I thought, I did this, you know.
Yes,
it's mine.
It's all real.
It's my baby. Yeah. It's my baby.
So on that note, most writers of their first works, what was it like when you had that manuscript finished, not published yet, but you had it finished and you gave it to somebody to read it and actually let somebody go away and read all that work? And what was that experience for your first time like that, getting that feedback?
It was I was expecting to be devastated that I wasn't good enough, or that self-doubt crept in, and I actually gave it to a friend who was breaking up within a relationship and wanted something to read that was different. So she said, can I read it? And I said, as long as you don't share it with anybody else. She came back to me. She said, I've known you for over 30 years. I had no idea this was inside you, and I could not put the manuscript down, errors and all. So I thought, yeah, that's good. Yeah, good feedback.
No, nice, nice. And as I said, rough draft as well, like to give somebody that confidence as well. And again, the feedback's been very positive. You must be happy with the feedback you're getting now as well.
Yes.
It's published. What are your expectations? Sorry?
Makes it all worthwhile.
Oh, good, good.
Yes.
I was going to say, what is your expectations now for readers when they read it? What do you hope they gain from it when they buy it?
They look forward to the sequel. That'd be nice.
Hook them in.
Yes, hook it in. Beyond the Tunnels, it's called, so that'll be interesting. No, I hope that they enjoy it and look forward to any more books that I might produce. And if it ever gets to the film industry, which I really wanted to be on the big screen because I think it has a good story that's relevant for today as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And who are your aspirations as a writer? Like, who do you admire for yourself? What authors do you admire, do you think?
Would you believe none in particular?
Okay. No,
I have no one specific.
Not even the woman in the mirror.
It's just I can't name anyone in particular. No, I do. I have author friends: Tina Clark, Edwina Shaw, and Cass Moriarty, and Anna Campbell, who writes prolific romance stories.
Good.
And I've read some of her books and, she's a prolific writer and she supported me on my journey too, so she's very excited as well.
Good.
She did my first what we call writer surgery, where she did a bit of an assessment on it and gave me some feedback. Louise Cusack was another one. Her assessment of my manuscript in the early days was wow, and I couldn't get past that word for 3 weeks. I'm just going to hang on to that phrase before I get into the 16th pages of changes to come.
That's
so,
right.
Feedback's good, but in negative or positive because I took it on board. My editors have been really good. I didn't argue with them because I thought they're the professionals. If they want to change it, I can change it. I wasn't going to sit there and argue, well, why did you do that? You know, so I've deleted four. I think Louise, Anna said change your first opening scenes. It's not a romance novel, so it's a thriller. So we changed that. Louise Cusack said take out your first four paragraph, your story starts on the fifth one. Did that. It was too soft. I needed that sense of, I keep saying scariness, you know.
Yeah, it is suspense. Up. Yeah, the tension.
Suspense, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
You got to keep it tight, keep engaging. And so it's good. So for the readers out there that buy the book and they love it, are they going to be waiting 9 years for the sequel? Or have you found that?
No. I'm hoping to have about four chapters, four chapters and the synopsis for you within about 2 weeks.
Okay, well, that's great. That's a good progress over the last one.
So, I hope,
so people know it's coming out sooner. Good, good.
About 12 months. So there's about 70,000 words together at the moment, so it won't take long to put it all.
Well done, well done. Well, that's very exciting. And for everyone listening, so, Harvest of the Unborn by Cheryl Sullivan. It's a wonderful book. It's out now. Anywhere books are sold, you can order it. Thank you, Cheryl, for your time today. We're very excited to support you and see the next steps in your journey. The long wait is here. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Bradley. It's lovely.
And everybody listening, thank you for listening and supporting independent authors. And do buy books for new authors to help support the industry's growth and bring new talent to the market. And thank you, everyone. And take care. And we'll talk again next time. Thank you.
Thanks, Bradley.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Between the Covers, produced by Shoreline Publishing.